It's the Mantastic Experience, back here to bring you a Mantastic time. You have with you Professor G, here to bring you the educational knowledge that you need in your life. You got with you C-Squared, here to bring you the advice on finances. You got Miss Minga, she's going to check your emotions. And last but not least, you got Mr. GP, always there with the legal advice and the analytics. What you got for us today, Mr. GP?
So today we're going to hit one of the big topics that you hear a lot about. And we're talking about the loneliness factor with men. So there's a stat that says in 1990, 55% of men said they had at least six close friends. Today, that number is down to 26%. Now, there's lots of reasons why that is. We can go into the technology, how social media has affected things, how we're just a more isolated population. But one thing that they point to goes back to kind of the playground roots, where men always have to be strong. We always have to, you know, pick ourselves up. We don't cry if something's going on. And there are a few articles out here that talk about this, that this classic masculinity, something that we defend on this podcast. We defend masculinity without the toxicness. We're talking about being strong.
Some of us do. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. I feel you. we try to defend masculinity, but this is pointing to kind of that playground rules of don't cry, pick yourself up. And what happens is a lot of men feel when they're having relationships, friendships with other men, that they need to kind of keep it at a superficial level. Talk about football, talk about basketball, what's going on. That when they get their free time, they're going to spend it with their kids because they're working hard and doing everything like that. But they're not getting that deep connection that women may get when they're talking about their problems, because men don't talk about their problems. So I'm going to throw the question out there. Do men need to kind of work masculinity on that scale? Do we need to tone that down and getting more in touch with our feelings and have those conversations with other men?
All right. So I'll jump in here and I will say, you know, I'm not surprised by your approach. You know, this is like an attack on masculinity in itself. And I'm going to tell you why. Because from what I've heard, men are usually better friends than women. If you talk to a woman, they'll tell you they've been stabbed in the back by other women. And guys, I think, are usually more straightforward, where women will continue to be your friend and almost like a crab in your barrel, put you down, you know, try to tell you to put on the ugly dress when they know you shouldn't be wearing it. Miss Mink, I don't know. What do you think?
And I think even within schools, you'll find that the really good essay writers tend to be the female. And boys are taught to, you know, sometimes they're better at math. So you could kind of even see that play out in that realm as well. So in terms of expressing yourself, it's something that is not, I don't know if it's not encouraged, whether it's at home or school, but that is something that I do see. And it does, so I could, I understand that. And I do have a friend actually who told me that he is willing to be, to have any woman in his house as long as he can cuddle with them. So it's not, he doesn't want to be lonely. He does not want to be lonely. It's real. So, you know, so I'm like, do you really like these people? So what is it? Is it insecure of being by yourself? I don't know what it is, but there are a lot of lonely men out there.
First off, dude needs to get like one of them large teddy bears so he can just stay out the self sexual harassment assault cases. You know what I'm saying?
Or Dolly.
But on a real tip, I think I'm gonna throw something out here. I think we need to redefine masculinity. We need to redefine what it is to be tough. And I think, in my opinion, if you being vulnerable with in a safe space, right, with some people you can trust, and build that trust up over some time, but being vulnerable in front of your peers takes strength. In my opinion, that takes masculinity. Now, when I say vulnerable, I'm not saying like boohoo, crying, tears all over the place. But what I do mean is, hey, look, man, I'm struggling with something. I need to talk to some people about it. I need to talk to my boys about it. Can we be real for a second? going out to dinner and be like, listen, man, I'm glad y'all joined me, but look, we gotta talk about something, man. I'm going through a divorce. I need some help, man. I'm struggling. You know what I'm saying? I'm turning to the bottom. You know, something, right? Like, but you need that. And in my opinion, I see that as strength, but I think society historically would see that as weakness. That's what I'm saying. What do you
See,
think, Professor G
that's but this is
or
kind of
GP?
this is kind of what the article was kind of getting at, exactly what you're talking about. So there are a lot of men who are, and there's several different articles I was reading on it. You can find a bunch of this online. And one of the articles talked about where a man, well, he would have his problems, and he might bring one problem to his friends, but he doesn't want to bring many problems to his friends, because then now he's like, he feels that he's going to look soft.
He's that dude.
And I don't even want to go back to the conversation that me and the professor were having, just during the week. And there's a lot of times where you're trying to improve yourself, and your self-improvement can be met with hate. If you're somebody who, we came up in Brooklyn, tougher time in Brooklyn. And when you make that decision where it's like, yo, I'm gonna go to school, I'm gonna do this, I'm trying to pursue a career, there's some people that's not, they're not trying to hear that. And then when you're starting to progress and head in that direction, you're not doing things that you used to do. You're gonna be met with a lot of negativity, and you're not getting that support. So what do you do? You're gonna turn inside and be like, I'm just gonna have to do this on my own, because these guys ain't messing with it. And you just kind of keep it to yourself, and you do your thing, you progress. But sometimes there's people that don't progress because they don't have that structure. So they might drop out, they might not finish it, because their people aren't really messing with it.
I think a lot of people don't want to talk, and it has to do with issues. Maybe they're embarrassed about what's going on or where they're at. Because I've been in many situations where dudes have spoken to me when they're about to go through something, and then you give them the possible solutions or choices, and they're usually tough choices you got to work for. And when dudes feel like they can't work up or stand up to that, rather than come back to you and say, hey, look, I couldn't do what you was telling me to do, what you was advising me to do. Rather than do that, they just don't talk about it. And it's respect for privacy too, where I might check in on you and ask, hey, anything good? And if you're not giving me details, I'm not gonna feel it's my place, even if you're a close friend or family member, to just be like, hey man, you need to talk to me. It's like, that's just not appropriate a lot of times.
You find, who are your support systems when you get into that place that Mr. GP talks about?
When I get into that place, definitely there are times, depending on what it is, I may talk to my wife, I may talk to my brother, but there are certain things too where I just need to self-reflect, and I just go into my bag, and then I'm looking at, my past decisions or indecisions and how I ended up where I'm at.
I'm pretty blessed. I have my brother I gotta see, and I have a lot of close friends where I can go to, and I can have a deep conversation with a lot of different people, and a lot of males also. So that I think that I've been blessed in that way. And I'll even say this, like, I have a friend who one time was like, man, you look like you need a hug. And I was like, man, I need a hug. He gave me a hug. And we're not talking about also, like, a lot of people will hear this, I know, might want to make a gay joke or whatever. This was something that was like, yo, just on some serious thing. Sometimes a brother needs a hug, whether it's
Yeah.
from just
Well,
somebody.
that's
When
being
they hug
vulnerable,
you,
man. I love
when
that.
they hug you, are they hugging you from the front or from
See,
behind? I'm
This is
just
what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying right here. This
I
is
just want
exactly what we're
this is the problem
what
is right here.
it's
This
a
is the
real
problem is.
question. There's different ways dudes get hugged. I've seen a lot of
I don't
pictures
know
out
what
there.
dude has
If
ever
you
hugged
don't
you
want to
from
answer, you don't
behind
have to
that you
answer. Let's
think that
drop the
that's
whole
cool.
thing. Let's
Nobody has
drop the
ever
whole
hugged
thing,
me
okay?
from behind. I don't know what
So
jail hugs you means you be taking.
let me
Be
throw something out to
specific.
y'all also along these same lines, right? First off, I heard the stat from the beginning saying that it used to be six close relationships that you can confide in. I think six is a lot. I think six is a lot. I think if as a man, for a man to develop that kind of relationship with on an individual basis with a number of different people, it takes an investment of time. And men are working, men are providing, men are coming home and trying to be present. They're putting the devices down, trying to be a leader to their children if they have them. Like there's just a lot of demands, a lot of pulls. Then you have like an outlet, maybe you want to go work out or you want to go play ball or whatever. So there's a lot of pulls on the time. And so I don't think it's realistic unless you're meeting with these six in small groups. You know, it's just hard to maintain six really close, I can tell my boy everything I'm going through kind of relationships. I think three is a better goal. I do have, you know, Minga, I have a couple people that I know at any point in time, I can hit them with a text. I need you, bro. Stuff is popping off. And they're right back to me. What time you want to catch up? Hey, I'm available now, like right away. And vice versa, right? Same people, I'm the same person for them. But it's developed over time. So what happens is if you let go of relationships you cultivated a while back, it's harder to do it the older you get to invest that time to have that kind of relationship going forward. That's what I have found, right? And that's what I found when I talk to people about this thing. You have to invest and nurture that relationship so that it is a safe space so that you can say, hey, bruh, I'm struggling with lust.
And
How many people can you say that to?
I have a question. You say that when you're feeling like that, you have male friends. Do you think that some men are afraid to disclose that information to their spouse?
Yes.
Well, sometimes it's about the spouse. Yeah.
Well,
Or sometimes the
you
spouse may
can't go,
misinterpret it or badly
you
interpret it, and
can't
it's just not right.
just go. My fault, C square, but I was just gonna say you can't
Go ahead.
go just blubbering to your wife or your girlfriend with tears, water fountaining out your eyes every few days, or it's gonna look crazy. And mind you, there's a time and place to shed tears. Of course, you lose a loved one or something suddenly tragic happens, you're gonna shed tears. But at the same time, if you just breaking up and you overly emotional or more emotional than your woman, she's not gonna feel secure in you. So sometimes, as much as and this is about to break the internet, but sometimes you gotta suffer in silence. That's part of being a human being. Men and women do it at times. You don't talk about ask the single moms out there.
Well, to kind of piggyback off of Professor G, I know there's many times where, and we talk about this when we talk about the financing. Sometimes you're flying by the seat of your pants, and you're just trying to get it from month to month, and you might be like, damn, I might not make it in this month, to the next month. So I might have that conversation with the professor. Like, your professor, it's tough out here, like, I don't know if I'm gonna take if I can take care of this, take care of that. Well, my wife comes like, no, we good, everything's taken care of. You got, because sometimes you're trying not to put that stress on that on your partner too, so you kind of just take the brunt of it and figure that out, and that's where you need that support system that C Square was talking about, where you're like, man, this is, things are real right now. So I think that's
Well, we
great.
got a whole bunch we can keep going on with this topic, but we're gonna wrap it up for now. We're gonna put a period on
Well,
it with
before
what Mr. GP said.
I know we're gonna close it out, but I think one thing that all people need to do, a lot of us have traumas from childhood, from whatever, if you've been through domestic stuff, bad breakups, a lot of us are carrying a lot of baggage, and we don't want to acknowledge it to ourselves. Some of us need people to speak to, whether it's a therapist or a friend, whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. All right, it's a
Let the
lot of
segment
people are
die.
messed up out here.
Let the segment die.
All right.
Segment is over, and we are tapping out, and
This
we'll
is
come back to you,
Mantastic
brothers.
Films.
Mantastic experience. It's the Mantastic experience. We are back here with you. Minga is going to bring us a special update from her life and story so you men can learn how to act towards a beautiful woman like her. Shoot it, Minga.
Thank you. So everyone knows I've been single for a while. Until recently, well, I still consider myself to be single. So one of my good friends, this was like about 5 months ago, she told me, I know this perfect guy for you. I'm telling you, he's a good guy, all around good guy. And I said, okay, I was a little bit apprehensive at first. And then we started talking via video because he doesn't live in the States. He lives out of state, out of the country. And so we just started talking, and then gradually, I guess some feelings were there. And but I could tell you this, he does seem to be a really, really nice guy who is serious. I think it's just a little bit too
Wait,
serious.
let me catch up. Let me catch up. You
Oh, wait, hold on.
said
What was the
this.
last thing you said? You said you think it's a little too serious?
Yes, like after a couple of conversations, he wants to
But you
get
said he's not in the
married.
country? Red
He's out of
flag.
country. He's in Aruba.
That's a red
Oh,
flag.
he's trying to get some green. He's trying to get a green card. That's what that is.
So
Go ahead,
he's in
Professor.
Aruba.
You
So
were making
you've
a point
never
or
met
something.
him. You've never met him in person.
No, I've no, just video.
How do you know this
And
guy isn't like a AI creation that he, how do you even
no,
know he
he's
actually
not. He's
exists?
not. He's not. He's
Wait,
a
what do they call that? There's a word for that. Catfishing. Catfish.
Catfishing.
Oh,
Yeah, how do you know he's
catfishing,
not getting
meaning you don't see
catfished?
the person, and then they may act like, they may put your picture up, but then they look like, I don't know,
Well,
like
going
who?
just going back to the point. Like, if you've never physically met a person and you're talking about marriage, there's something wrong here. Like,
What?
there's
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think there's anything really wrong with long distance dating. You know, you can give it a try, see how it goes. But at some point, it's like, all right, let's meet up for a weekend. You know, let's see what happens when we're actually together. Let's see what the vibe is. Like, I don't get how you go
So,
from a video talk to let's get married.
yeah, so
It's one.
he's coming in. He booked the ticket to come in July, and he's like, I'm gonna come, and then eventually we're gonna get married. I'm like, what? We haven't met each other. I'm not saying that he can't be a good guy, but I just don't understand the marriage
Well,
aspect
when
of
he
it. So
comes, is he staying in a hotel or is he supposed to stay with you?
he definitely is
Yo,
staying up with, I don't know, he's not staying
guys,
with me.
you keep saying when this guy comes, it's gonna get us demonetized. Y'all gotta,
Oh
you know what I'm
wow.
saying?
Wow.
I feel like when he
When this guy
arrives,
arrives,
wow.
voila,
Wow. He just jumped straight to it.
I
Hey, so
am.
here's it. How long of a time frame between the first phone call or whatever it was to today? Like, what we talking, a few months, a few weeks?
I would say a few months. It's a few
Okay.
months.
So I feel like, and this is just my own personal opinion, people who make strong attachments very quickly is indicative that there is something in their past that has created a void whereby that attachment today can be formed so quickly. There's something, it's a red flag. It's just a red flag. That's how I see it. There's something missing. Something, there's a hole in the story that makes this person want to latch on to someone after a few months worth of video calls. What do you think about that?
So does he need a teddy bear?
Hold on.
Clearly.
I think there's a big thing that we're ignoring here. This is a Caribbean man in the Caribbean. Caribbean men love every woman they've ever seen. He's probably got eight kids you don't know about. You gotta be
Dexter
real
St.
careful
Jacques.
with that. Got to be real careful with that one.
And his mother's coming over soon in a couple of weeks. He goes, oh, you're gonna meet your mother-in-law before I meet you. He's introduced me to
So,
his sisters and everything. So I'm not saying, once again, yeah, I understand what you guys are saying, but I just keeping my eyes.
what do you like about him? Like, can we break it down? Because you just said it's getting serious.
Can I throw a flag? I want to throw a
Please.
flag and just give Minga like a 15-yard penalty. What are you doing, Minga? Like, come on, you gotta be serious. Like, dude lives in another country, you never met him, and he wants to get married. This is a hustle. This is not gonna end well. You gotta have the future vision. Please tell me you got other things going on in your life besides this right here. You got any other prospects?
No other prospects, actually.
No other
All I know is that, but
prospects.
we when we finally get some money and we can put it into the show, we need to get like the Star Trek Red Alert. That whole story just needs that going off in the background because don't none of this sound right.
Well, what about, so there are people who live in the country, there are frogs too. Frogs can be
For
everywhere.
sure, for sure, for sure.
Frogs,
Yeah,
what are we
but
talking
like
about?
it's
Like,
just it's just the
yo, it's
level
just a lot of
of
red flags. It's a lot of red flags.
like I've
So
never met you
what do you
before.
like about him? Is he sensitive? Like, let's tease this thing out. We'll give you the benefit of the doubt. What is it that you like
He
about him?
seems to be very kind, very
How is he kind
caring,
on video?
kind, very caring.
Are you crying on video? Like, what does crying on video look like? Like, he saved the cat while he was talking to you on video? Like, what do you do?
He makes me feel beautiful.
Okay, so he's complimentary. Okay.
Yes. He seems to care about my day, care what I ate, ask, how are the kitties doing? He just seems to care about my day. Like, if I don't speak to him, he cares about that, about if we don't communicate. He's
That's
introduced.
how, I'm gonna just say that's how a lot of my Nigerian brothers, get a hold of these old women credit cards all the way from their country because, people need someone to talk to. Shout out to my Nigerian bros.
So
But
shout out to
don't
you
get me wrong, I'm
guys.
not saying I'm taking this person seriously serious, but sometimes maybe women could get lonely too. That's the whole theme today is
Yeah.
lonely.
So I think
Sometimes we just want someone to talk to. It doesn't mean
but I
that she's
think
going to take him serious.
I think we just hit the difference between dating and marriage. Because when we're dating you and we're trying to get into the union, yeah, we care about your day. Once we're in the union, we don't give a damn about your day. We're never going to ask again. So I think that's a
Oh, don't speak for everybody on that
Wow.
one.
Yeah,
I don't
I'm
speak for
for
everyone on
everyone.
that one. I
Oh, yeah,
mean,
no, I care about your day, baby. I
try to be I
I
try
love
to
your
be
day.
genuine. I mean, sometimes I may not ask, but usually I'll try. For
But
sure.
yeah, Minga, you're a beautiful woman.
Thank
You
you.
can just work on improving yourself
Yes.
and becoming a better you through self-reflection. And trust me, that energy you put out there in making yourself better will make someone who wants to be better themselves gravitate towards you.
Thank you
So,
for the
Minga, do you
advice.
have like a minimum, like if I'm going to be talking to someone, they need to at least bring X, Y, and Z to the table? Like, do you have that mentally in your mindset as you're considering your prospects?
That's a very good question. I don't take anyone seriously like that. So sometimes I just may be on the phone with a man just to clean, and I was as I'm talking to you, I'm just cleaning my house. So I'm not like really realistically taking anyone seriously unless they would bring those things to the table.
Right.
Like you
So what are
said,
those things? That's the thing.
that's
That's what I'm
no.
asking, right? Like, so
Yes.
for example, somebody could be wildly attractive, but if one of your standards, one of those three standards was they need to be able to provide or bring something to the game from a provisionary perspective because I've got children, I have, we need that needs to be part of the picture. And then no matter who that person is, they could check off a lot of blocks, but if provision or the ability to provide is not one of them, then you just bam, rule them out. Like I gotta stay in my heart. This person is not gonna
Is it
meet the minimum.
possible for that person to not have those things, but they have the potential of like maybe they not be, he may not be financially set now, but it may happen in the future. But
Well, I
so
just use that as an example. If that's not one of your minimums, then don't put it as one of your minimums. Maybe one of your minimums
wow.
to Professor G's is hey, he's got to be able to take care of himself. He's got to be physically strong and capable. I need to feel safe around
Well,
him.
let me push back. I think you got to look at where you're at in life. And, Minga, you discussed it before. You're a single mom, you got kids. I mean, I really couldn't see you messing with a dude who has a job that's like an entry-level position job, right? So you would assume it's going to be some dude who's lived life a little bit. He's probably going to have a kid. So your question is going to be, hey, is he taking care of his kid? Is he handling his responsibility? These are the signs I think you should be looking for.
I will say
Addition to
one
that,
thing
oh, go
though.
ahead.
And people might take this as a joke, but you do have to prepare yourself for little things like this. If he's like, hey, I'm coming to the States, let me just put a deposit in your account real quick. Let me get your account number. Don't do it. See, guys are laughing, but people do this. And then, but the line of criminality kind of gets blurred because you gave them your account number. Was it a theft? Was it this? Was it that? That stuff gets blurred. It can get real hard to get your money back when you voluntarily give somebody your account number. So
No,
just,
I'm gonna get money. Like I'll put money into your account. I'm gonna put money into your account.
Nah, how about you don't nobody put money in anybody account and you come and you stay in your hotel and spend your money because you was coming to America, so.
I'll keep you guys posted.
All right, Minga, so we just gonna wish you the best of luck
Thank
in your
you.
single endeavors.
Thank
And we're
you.
going to say, have a mantastic adventure in doing
No
that.
problem. Thank you.
All right. So, studies show that most people spend about $400 a year on Lotto, but do not have $400 in an emergency. So, I bring to
Wow.
you C Square is here to take you away from your financial troubles. Shoot it, bro.
All right. Hey, first off, that's a crazy stat. I never heard that stat before. Today we're going to talk about what wealthy parents do to set their children up for financial success. Family, we've been on this journey talking about different things we need to focus on to help build wealth in our community, in our household, in our family, maybe pass wealth to the next generation. But one of the things we got to think about that wealthy people automatically are doing is there are certain things you can do to set your children up for financial success and make that multi-generational wealth building really take off. Now, if you look up this, you may come up with some things that are really common, transferring knowledge, not just wealth to the next generation, use, wealth transfer vehicles, all that's important. Maybe modeling the responsible and steward kind of like activities, absolutely important. But I'm going to go a little bit deeper. I want to go a different direction. I'm going to share two things that wealthy families do to help set their children up for success. First, now we talked about the importance of credit. The first one is wealthy families, what they try to do is set up their high school, maybe junior, senior, before they even leave the house, they set them up as an authorized user on a lightly used credit card. Let me tell you why. When you're out there and you're trying to get credit, you're trying to buy a house, you're trying to buy a car, the first thing they're going to say is, yeah, your credit is, I guess, good because you haven't used any credit, but we're not going to extend you the best rate because there's no credit history. So what these families do is they establish a credit history for the next generation before they leave the household. And then I say lightly used credit card. You don't want to be doing it with your everyday credit card. And if you don't know how to handle your credit, then you definitely don't want to set your child up for failure by making them an authorized user on a credit card that you're paying late on. That's not going to work. But if you have a lightly used credit card, maybe you buy groceries once a month on it. That's all you do on that one card. You set aside specifically for that reason. Then what you do is you add your child as an authorized user. They come out of home after a year or two, and they literally will have outstanding credit. Then when they go to get their first car, get their first home, they walk in the door, they've got this history of credit that really wasn't even theirs, and they look like rock stars, and they're able to get the best terms when they're borrowing money. Boom, that's number one. Number two, very basic, but not often done. They teach and expose their children to how to think like a capitalist. This is a capitalist country. And the more you think like a capitalist, the rules, the IRS, the way we view people starts to work in your favor. So they teach their children how to think like a capitalist, how to build wealth like a capitalist, how to invest in things that will increase in value and not invest in things that will decrease in value that you just end up throwing out a year or two down the line. And they just teach that to them over the dinner table. They teach that to them by letting them, giving them insight. Hey, this is what I'm doing with my money. Here's why. And here's the kind of wealth that can be built by it. So they're modeling that behavior to think like a capitalist. In the Black community, this is something we do not do well. We do not think like capitalists. We do not try to own our businesses, own our homes, own stocks. We just don't do it as much as other ethnicities in this country. And so these are the top two things. Review. Help set up good credit for your child and teach financial literacy by way of capitalism. So those are the two things that I want to talk about right today. I hit them really hard. Now I want to turn it on y'all. What are you doing to set your children up for financial success? Professor G, let's start with you.
All right, C Square, you bring some interesting points. One of the things I'm doing that you mentioned, I definitely teach my daughters, I'm a girl dad, I teach my daughters about credit. That both of them had savings accounts, junior bank accounts when they were young, and they learned to put money away. Even a little piggy bank to put change away in their rooms, some coins, that matters. So teaching them about savings. And then we did what you were talking about. We have them as authorized users on
Boom.
credit cards.
Love
So
it.
we started building that credit early while talking to them about being responsible and saving, because you don't want to make your credit your main source of just purchasing or paying bills. That technically should be a backup or just an option, basically a strategic measure if you're trying to get yourself in a financial position to do things later on. Now, as far as teaching my girls to be capitalists, I mean, hey, we've discussed stepping over the body of your enemies many times, but I'm not going to say that's necessarily what Jesus would do. So I'm not telling you that's your number one option, but I understand we are in a capitalist society. More so, what I've spoken to my girls about, again, is getting into a profession where you're actually going to make money. And as you know, the educational expert here, I've seen a lot of people go into that downfall where they get a degree they can't really do nothing with. And they pay a lot of money. Like, hey, I know somebody who went to NYU to be a social worker. Now, I don't know if you know, but NYU, you're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to go there for a few years. I think it's 80 grand a year.
80 a
Yeah,
year.
80 grand a year. So after you don't figure that out after you're there for 4 years, and then you
Actually, I
go
think
be a
it's 8
social
grand a
worker.
semester.
No, it's a year. It's a year.
Is it a year? Oh, okay.
Yes, thank you. So figure now you go be a social worker and you're starting like 60, 70 grand. And you owe, several hundred grand, 350 grand or more for your college. That's not going to work out. And I know too many people with business degrees who they're just managing gyms or they can't find a job. Because what's the truth? If you have a business idea that's going to take off, you don't really need a degree. You just need a business loan. And there are ways to go about that. So I have encouraged my girls to definitely go into the medical field, where they're always going to need people. And any state you go to, they're going to need medical practitioners of all types. So that's my number one, even though I didn't go there myself, but that's what I encourage them to do.
I love it, bro. Who else? Who else? Any other ideas?
My students, you have to be through it. My children have a Gerber life insurance. My son has two. My daughter has one. I do believe that so by the time they're 18, they just give them like a nice amount of money.
I
And
remember
it's
hearing about
also a
that.
life insurance policy for myself. So what I'm thinking of having them do in the future is to use that money to be a capitalist, like you said, maybe to use that to buy a property or to invest in certain things, because I do believe that they will get some type of scholarship anyway. So I'm not really using that for school. I want to use that to help them build. So, and I will try to do what Professor G did, is to add them on a credit card, because my credit is excellent. So I'm gonna look into that, but I don't know how
Trite
old you
Minga.
have to be. How old do you have to be in order to put your kid on that?
So I don't know the minimum age, but I know I basically just started it at age 16 for each of my children because I figure
Usually
they're still
about age
home.
16,
I can
yeah.
watch, yeah, and then they can be an authorized user. The car comes in their name. Truth be told, I don't even show my kids the car. It goes in my safe.
Ha, there it is.
It's not, that's not
Well,
what it's for, right? It's for helping you build your credit. You don't need that
I mean, I don't have a lot to say on the subject because my child is only one, so our biggest
Wait a
concern
second, you saying you
is
can't put her to work?
don't know. We try to. She do it or not is different. Like
Gonna
our
sue
biggest
you.
struggle is right now is to get her to keep her diaper on, because she forgot how to take that off.
She likes to take it
So
off.
that's, yeah, she know how to take it off. She'll take it off and throw it right over the side, and it was like, oh, come on now. So, but at the same time, I think even now, we're still planning for our future. And one of the big things is we're trying to change that zip code. We're trying to control what she sees, get her to a place, get her to an area where schools are a little bit better, and try to move from there.
I love it, bro. I love it.
There it is.
So one thing I will share with you, and many may be familiar with it, but there is something called a 529 plan, which is a way to save towards education. You're the owner of the plan as the parent. the child is the beneficiary. You can change the beneficiary over time. So in Minga's case, if let's say you have an account, you're putting money in every single month towards their education. If one of your children ends up getting a scholarship, you can just shift the name to the next child or to a grandchild. So you have a lot of control over who gets it. As long as the money's used for education, when you pull it out and you pull out the growth of that money over time, you don't pay taxes on it as long as it's for education. It's a big winner. Because if you start when the child is one, and then by the time they turn 18, you're pulling out 18, 17 years of growth. That could be a lot of money that you're not having to pay Uncle Sam on, and you can put it right towards their education. You could put it towards buying books. You can put it towards, housing. Just to make that journey a little bit hot, a little bit easier. And to Professor G's point, if they do go to NYU, they don't come out owing $340,000, $320,000 after $80,000 a year for 4 years.
That's crazy. So, yeah, we're
Should
gonna
you
leave it
create
right
savings and
here
checking account
for.
for them? Sorry.
Say again.
Do your children have savings and checking accounts that you put that
They
you set
do.
up?
They do. They do. I started it a long time ago when they would get gifts, financial gifts from like grandparents and stuff like that. I would always say, hey, listen, half that money you can use it, spend whatever you want. The other half is going to the savings account, and then it
All
became
right,
checking when they
so
started working.
I'm gonna give a fair warning. I'm gonna try to wrap this up one last time. Anybody interrupts me, you gotta meet me today and we're gonna hash it out. So we're about to wrap it up.
Yo, Professor, can I say something
Anybody
about
got anything to say? Hold it down. So that has been a fantastic experience. We're gonna see you guys on the next episode where we will educate you on how to get your life up in all sorts of fantastic ways. Peace.
Right.